Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray because you are the giver of life, give life to your word. Let your word come alive in us. Lord God, I pray that we'll not just be hearers of this word, but we'll be doers of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, that this your word will liberate us, will set us on a path of financial freedom, on a path of increase, on a path of building wealth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 4 to 5, and I want to read the amplified version of the Bible as you should see on the screen. It says, do not weary yourself. Don't overwork yourself with the overwhelming desire to gain wealth. Cease from your own understanding of it. When you set your eyes on wealth, it is suddenly gone. For wealth suddenly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies to the heavens. Listen, if you are going to be financially free, don't let money become your idol. Don't let money become your idol. Don't serve money. Let money serve you. And that's what we want to talk about today, how money can serve you. Let money serve you. Don't be a servant to money. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. It's not possible. It's either you are a slave to one and the other one is your master. Let money be a tool. Money should be a tool in your hands, in my hands. First and foremost, to honor God, to take care of your family, to give, to serve humanity, and bring others to Christ. That is the primary purpose that should be in the heart of any Christian in regards to money. Don't serve it. Don't make it your idol. Don't bow to it. Don't let money enslave your mind, but use it as a tool. A tool. If you are liberated financially, it will be easy to use money as a tool to honor God. Money as a tool to take care of your family. Because if you neglect your family, the Bible says you are worse than an infidel. As a man who neglects his family, you are looking nice, your wife, your children are not looking nice, there's a problem right there. Hallelujah. Money in our hands is for humanity, is to serve others. Always have other people in mind, people you can help, and also help bring people to Christ. Praise the Lord. Tony Robbins, the author of Money, Master of the Game, he said the secret to wealth is simple. You see, all these people, they use biblical principles. And we, the children of the kingdom, we are not using it. He said the secret to wealth is simple. Find a way to do more for others. Isn't that what the Bible says? Become more valuable. Do more. Give more. Be more. Serve more. And you will have the opportunity to earn more. That is to say, even God will open opportunities, windows of opportunities for you. How many times, just 2-3 weeks ago, Warren Buffett gave away $3.7 billion to charity. And yet he has never lacked. Bill Gates, every time, he's giving $12 billion, $13 billion. To the issue of malaria, to eradicate malaria, is still one of the richest men in the whole world. Giving does not diminish you. When you give to the right thing, when you give to advance God's kingdom, when you give to the right cause, when you give to advance humanity, it does not diminish you. Rather, it adds to you. And through it, God will open to you more windows of opportunities. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4, the amplified version of the Bible. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built, and by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, its rooms are filled with oil. all precious and pleasant riches. What does this mean? It means if you are going to be financially free, you have to make a shift. Wisdom demands that you make a shift in your mind from being a consumer. I must have it. I have to buy it. I have to buy that. I must buy that. No, you don't need to buy that. I like this advert. Any company that I mention, please, I'm not advertising them. I'm just using them as an analogy. If they knew I was going to use them, maybe we will strike a contract and they'll give me some money about talking about them. Ally Bank. Ally Bank is not a brick and mortar bank. It's an online bank. And they said, if you open an account with us, we'll help you save. And with your account with us, if you want to buy, we will watch what you are buying. If there are things you don't need, they will dissuade you from buying. They are more or less like, the advert says they will be aggressive. They are going to be aggressive with you to discourage you just from that consumerism mentality. 98%, or let me be modest, 95% of the population of the world are consumer-oriented. It's a consumer economy. So, wisdom says, shift from being a consumer to becoming an owner. Hallelujah. And for you to become an owner, it means you become an investor. You become an investor. There are so many companies in America that you can own a little bit of it. The land in America, there's privilege and opportunity for each and every one of us to own a little piece of it. If you put your mind to it, if you discipline yourself enough, it will not just be the house you are living in, but you can own another piece of land, another piece of property in this nation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this nation is a nation with a stable economy. It's a very stable economy. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of us would like to be an investor? Doesn't matter your age, you know. Especially you guys who are still very young. If you start young, can you imagine by the time you are 30, by the time you are 40, the kind of portfolio you are going to have? I have a philosophy of teaching children about money from the age of 7. Keep talking to them about money, the value of a dollar. I was sharing with somebody this morning. We undervalue the value of a dollar. Oh, save that $1. Or you want to buy something, oh, it's just a dollar. No, it's not just. A dollar is not just. There's a value to a dollar. $1 here, $1 there, $1 here, $1 there. It adds up. It adds up. If you owe a dollar there, if you owe a dollar here, if you owe a dollar there, if you owe a dollar there, before you know it, you are owing too much. And it starts with just $1. Don't call $1 just anymore. It's valuable. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, making or make certain a purposeful financial goal should be a priority. Setting a financial goal, I told us last week, have a budget, be disciplined and stick to it. Revisit your financial goal. Our first message this year has to be setting of goals. And part of it is setting financial goals. Determine, say to yourself, give yourself a figure beyond your salary. This is how much money I am going to earn this year. By the grace of God, God will begin to show you and open you avenues. That by the end of the year, you just find out. It's either you are almost there, you hit the target, or you are gone beyond it. And I pray that before the end of this year, God will take you beyond your financial goal. And it's not too late to set a financial goal now. Today. Begin from today. It's not too late. Why do you need to set a financial goal? And keep track of it. Write it down. Make it clear. So that you can track it. You can follow it. Where am I? Where am I? The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 5, the Message Bible, careful planning, sitting down like this guy with a pen and a paper, with your computer, calculator, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. It says hurry and scurry puts you far behind. It makes you impulsive. God has to deliver you from that. Amen. Remember, like I said last week, in your budgeting, pay God first, your tithe. It has to be part of your system. You are a covenant child. And you want the blessing of the covenant God. Pay God first. Then pay yourself. Pay yourself what you are going to save. Pay yourself what you are going to invest. 10% is your tithe. Oh, if you say, oh, I don't have too much. Pay yourself 10%. Start saving that 10%. Commit to putting that 10% aside. I'm going to give us tools that can help you to save. Very easy. Very simple. After you have paid yourself, then spend the rest on what needs to be spent on. But remember God first, then yourself. Don't miss those two. I know number three, you can't do anything about it. You have to spend on other necessities. But make God and yourself first and second. Hallelujah. So before you start spending on necessities, before you start going haywire at Sam's Club or anywhere you shop, hallelujah. Before you start doing all those, giving them your card for necessity. Remember I said, don't use credit card to pay for food. Don't use credit card to pay for gas. Don't use credit card to do all those little things. Let the money, your credit card, if you have one at all, my advice is cut it because you don't have the discipline to manage it. That money is for investment. If you know what you are doing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first thing is prioritize God. Prioritize God and yourself. Yourself, your financial future. Always think about your financial future. By the grace of God, when you are 70, are you still going to be working? What are you going to be living on? Are you going to be, my son has not sent the check for this month. And then bring. Hello, Peter. What is going on? What's going on there in America? How is America? We are here. Oh. We are dying here. Oh. May that never be your portion. I say, may that never be your portion. I say, may that never be your portion. May you never look to any child before you feed. May you never look to any child before you are satisfied. When daddy calls, hey, Peter, I'm flying to the States next week. I'll be in Washington, and then I'll go to Seattle, and then I'll be in California. On my way back, I will stop by and visit you guys. Peter is happy that daddy is coming. Because when daddy comes, when daddy is leaving, daddy calls the grandchildren, drop something. Amen. Drop up to their mortgage. You take. You will hear, daddy, when are you coming again? Not when are you leaving? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. It's about wise planning. It's about wise planning. Tell your neighbor, wise planning. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 27, in the Message Bible, I love the way it says it. It says, first plant your fields. Invest first. Invest first. Plant your field before you build your barn. Hallelujah. Plant your field first. Amen. Then build your barn. Proverbs 24, 27, the Amplified says it this way. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, build your house and establish your home. For anybody that first comes to a place like Missouri, they are looking for accommodation, looking for a place to squat. It's okay. And then they are looking for money to rent a house. I think that's wrong. The first thing you are looking for is to buy a car. Because here, buses don't run right. Do you agree with me? There are no buses. And if you are squatting with somebody, maybe they help you 1 week. The second week, day two, they have places to go. Get a car. You can sleep in your car. You can't drive your apartment. Does that make sense? All right. Amen. The car is the number one priority on this side. If you go to California or New York, rent an apartment, you can hop on the bus and the train. Go to anywhere you want to go. Amen. Do not just spend impulsively. I don't know how many times I'm going to say it. You know why? It erodes your financial future. So investing first before you spend is a wise thing to do financially. Now, concerning investments, which is my main subject today, think long term. Think long term. Think long term. Think retirement. Think retirement. Investment should be for the long run. For the long run. Let me tell you, those of you who are in a job, your 401k will not suffice when you retire, except you are earning millions of dollars. And then you have a stake in the company. Maybe when you retire, they give you some shares. You are entitled to some shares. But if not, that 401k, it will not suffice. Whatever you are putting aside for in your 401k, by the time you retire, inflation has wiped it out. Inflation has wiped it out. It's not going to be enough. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the ant plants ahead, and we should be smarter than the ant. Amen. The Bible says in the Living Bible Translation, Proverbs 13 and verse 16, it says, a wise man thinks ahead. A wise man, a wise person thinks ahead. It doesn't matter your age now. You that you are in college, start thinking investment. Start thinking investment. Start thinking what you can begin to do to earn money. Start thinking investment. You are blessed with creative abilities. Begin to showcase those creative abilities. Praise the Lord. He says a fool doesn't. A fool does not think ahead. He even brags about it. That's not you. That's not me. Set your financial goals on the future you want. Paint the picture of the future you want. Paint the picture of the future you want. Paint the picture of the future you want. Then break your goals down in bite sizes in order to paint that picture and make that picture your reality. And I pray whatever picture you paint for your future, I pray God it becomes your reality in Jesus' mighty name. It's beneficial to plan your financial future now than to just be buying because you feel like it. You like it. Last year when I was dealing with this subject, I said something. The things we buy, they don't change. It's our desire towards them that change. We've had this pulpit now, this podium, this lectern. We've had it for more than 5 years, I guess. It hasn't changed. But I can wake up one day and said, and I've not woken up one day and said, I've been thinking that why can't you have two supports instead of one and make it wider? This thing hasn't changed. But what I want is changing. My mind is changing towards it. And that's how it is. And this thing is not cheap. Praise the Lord. So are the things we have bought. Little things. If we combine those things together, you can't even sell them for the amount you bought it. That purse, you just have to buy by all means. When you bought it, now you don't like it anymore. Is there any store you can take it to that they can give you something for it? Maybe because you didn't buy Louis Vuitton. Or maybe you bought Louis Vuitton, but it's Louis Vuitton. Not the original one. Because the original one, we still have value. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I love these sunglasses. You bought it. $15. They wrote there. You thought they wrote Ray-Ban. It was Ray and Bonds. And Ray and Bonds has no value. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm always of the opinion that, hey, if I'm going to buy anything, I better buy value, even if it's one. And it's going to last me for years. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So set financial goals. Don't just buy because you feel like it. Concerning investment, think between 15 and 30 years. I visited one of my sons here. I visited in my home. Oh, how much I enjoyed our discussion. I began to look at him differently from that day. He has the mindset of an investor. I'm like, these are the kind of people I'm talking about. And he was even giving me clues as to, do I know about this? Do I know about that? And immediately when I got home, I researched it. Then I plugged this there. Then I plugged that there. And just forgot it and left it. One day, that little seed is going to come back 1,000 times. Praise the Lord. That's how investment is. Amen. Long term. Okay. Number one. Roth IRA. Roth is the name of the person that brought it to the Congress so that beyond the traditional IRA, the traditional IRA, you can save $6,000. But should you want to withdraw from it before your retirement age, which is probably about 59 to 59 and a half years or 60 years or above, if you go to your traditional IRA to withdraw money because there's an emergency, you are going to pay tax on it. But Roth IRA, you can save also $6,000 in a year, every year, and you can withdraw from it anytime without any penalty at all. So you can have both the traditional and the Roth IRA. You can start investing in Roth IRA with different companies, E-Trade, Ameritrade. My best option is Stash. It's called Stash. And when I say my best option, I'm not saying you must do it. I'm just giving you ideas. But you have to do your own research. So, disclaimer, I'm not saying that you have to do it. I'm just giving you an advice. I'm not a professional financial advisor. That is to say, I don't have a degree in it, nor am I licensed. But I'm giving you the same thing they are going to tell you. But some, depending on the volume of what your portfolio may be, will give you further ideas about investing. So, you can have a traditional IRA and also the Roth IRA. The Roth IRA has no tax liabilities whatsoever. Amen. Now, if you have little children, don't wait until they are grown. Right now, two things you should do. Open an account for as soon as they are born. That's one thing. When we have newborn babies here, and maybe my wife and I write a check to bless the newborn baby, what I normally tell the parent is, use this money to open an account for your baby. Use it to open an account for your baby. Open an account for your child, for your children. Let me tell you, even if it's $5 every 2 weeks, every paycheck, that's $10 a month. From when they are 6 months old, 1 year old, and keep putting in till they are 18, do you think it's something? And at a point, compound interest will kick in. Put it in a CD. CD looks like nothing. Some will give you 2%, some will give you 1.75%. It looks like nothing for the year. It keeps rolling over. It keeps rolling over until they are 18. If you present your 18-year-old and say, happy birthday, son, happy birthday, daughter, and it's like $15,000. What do you think that child will say? They'll go to their, apart from hugging, you are the best dad ever in this world. I bought our youngest son his favorite cereal yesterday. He didn't know. It's not that the one he likes is finished at home, but I just, okay, let me just replenish. So when he saw the boxes of those cereal, he was so ecstatic. Oh, Dad, this is awesome. Go and empty all my account. Take all the money. You are the one that put it there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then, save for your children's college. Put money aside for their college. When that time comes, college is getting more and more expensive. More and more expensive. And the first job they get sometimes may not pay off that bill. Start putting money aside little by little. $20 every paycheck. Minimum, I'm just saying, depending on your capability. Even if it's $5. In Missouri, it's called 529. Every state has their own different ones. And then it's an investment for your child's college. Concerning investment, think diversification. Think diversification. Let me tell you about Stash. I'm jumping because of my time. Stash, S-T-A-S-H. We have a power outage. Stash.com. You download it and they advise you, just start with $5. Several things you can do with your Stash account. You can buy stocks. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite stocks is Amazon. Amazon is almost $2,000 now. On Stash, you can buy Amazon $5. Just a little bite out of it. Then, the next time, you had another $5 and buy another $5. A little bite out of it. As Amazon is going up, your $10 too is going up. Praise the Lord. On Stash, you can open your IRA, both the Roth and the traditional, whichever one you want. And also, you can just use it to save money. And when you have good money, you can now use it to do whatever you need to do with it. Praise the Lord. Oh my God. I thought I was helping you. Amen. Let me tell you. You see, if you are interested in Stash, come and see me. I'll tell you why. If you download it, you want to start it. If I send you a text message from my Stash account, I have one. They'll give me $5. And they will give you $2, $5. So it's a win-win situation. Does that make, is that good sense? There are some people here whom are introduced to it, and they are doing well. And you too can do well. Praise the Lord. Also, Acorns. Acorns started with, let's say you go to the gas station, you buy gas for $6.32. There's 68 cents remaining on the dollar. Acorn will take that 68 cents and put it in that account for you. And they will invest it by themselves. You don't determine what you want to invest it in. And if you use your card to buy from some companies, those companies have a business with Acorn that, okay, if you spend $50, we will invest $10 on your behalf. It's a win-win situation. Search them out. Do your due diligence. And then we have Fundrise. Fundrise, I like Fundrise a lot. Fundrise, you can start with $500. That's their minimum, I think. $500. Fundrise invests in real estate all over the country. And what they do is they pay you dividends every quarter. So on your $500, depending on what they make, you get something back, and your $500 is still there. So in a big high-rise in Miami with 42 apartments, your $500 can work. You are sleeping, it's working for you. And if you want, every quarter, when they issue the dividends, you can roll it over or they send it directly into your account. Praise the Lord. So, check it out. Then there's rich uncles. Rich uncles. How many of you have rich uncles? Rich uncles specifically deal with student housing. They invest in student housing all over the country. So, they invite you to come and invest a little bit of money. And just like Fundrise works, they work in the same way. Praise the Lord. And you know, I mean, student accommodation all over the country, there's no time they will be empty. You know? There's no time they will be empty. Praise God. Then you have Digit. I love Digit. Digit is excellent. Digit, you just download these things on your phone. It's an app. Digit helps you save. Digit helps you save for different categories. Say, for example, you want to save for a car. There's that category there. You want to save for a house. There's that category there. You want to save for a boat. There's that category. Anything you want to save for, you just tell them. They'll just take the money from your account and put it towards that thing and keep it there. And you can watch it grow until it reaches the level you want to buy what you need. Visit Digit. It's a good tool for investment, for savings. Praise the Lord. And then there's real estate by itself. Like I've said, in Kansas City here, there are properties all over the place. They look dilapidated. They just need a little bit TLC. Three people, four people. There are some people here in this church who have done it, and they are benefiting from it. Come together, buy a house, a two-bedroom house, three-bedroom house for $30,000. There are several things you can do. You can do online finance where you don't spend a dollar, you don't spend a dime to fix it. People who are going to buy it like that from you, they will buy it and they will pay you over 10 years. Can you imagine buying a property for $30,000 and then you turn around and sell it for $59,000 and yet you did not pay $1 to fix it? And you are collecting $600 every month for 10 years. Actually, more than that, almost $700 for 10 years. And the person buying it from you will pay a down payment, a minimum of $5,000, free money. So that deducts from your $30,000, which is to say your investment is actually $25,000. And every month there's a check in the mail. There's a check in the mail. When there's trust that three people can come together, four people can come together, there's several opportunities out there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible encourages diversification. We've heard before, do not put your egg in one basket. Amen? The Bible even says in Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 2, and verse 6, send your grain across the seas, and in time, profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk might lie ahead. If you use stash, you can invest in several stocks. You can invest Amazon, Netflix, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. Praise the Lord. But what you need to know is every investment carries risk. You just need to ask the right questions. Do your own research. Don't forget it's your money. Don't let somebody else decide what it does for you. You decide yourself. Praise the Lord. But make sure you minimize your risk. You limit your risk when you are investing. Limit your risk. Your risk level should be what you don't mind to lose. That is not going to rock the boat. It's not going to destroy you. Finally, one more thing I need to talk about. Just spare me. I know my time is up. Just spare me 2 minutes. I need to mention this. Depending on what your portfolio is or you want to start, it's wise to contact a fiduciary advisor. Why a fiduciary advisor and not just a broker? Brokers don't really care about your money. But a fiduciary advisor is legally bound. Is legally bound to watch over your money with you, together with you. They are obliged to act in your best interest. A broker does not necessarily have to. They only charge you a flat fee anyway, depending on your asset. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Say neighbor. Remember, no time is better than now to start saving for investment and planning ahead. Tell them again. Say, remember, no time is better than now to start saving for investment and planning ahead. Amen. Think about your future. Think about the future you want with God in mind. And I guarantee you, you will succeed. Can we give the Lord a round of applause?